कि उधर कौन बैठा हुआ है कंप्यूटर के पास, दिस पिक्चर ऑन द साइड। استغفر الله تعالى بسم الله दौर में जोर से बातें ना करें, ऊपर चले जाए हैं। बिफोर वी बिगिन द एक्चुअल मजलिस एंड डिस्कोर्स, देर आर आदाब एंड एटिकेट्स ऑफ द गैदरिंग्स ऑफ जिक्र एंड सीहा। Number one is that one person should have the correct motive, otherwise it will be a waste for you. And the motive should be that I may learn something which I mentioned before, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I created the human beings and brought them out of the womb of the mothers. لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئَهَا, they don't know anything. That's about the normal human being except Anbiya and some great people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed knowledge. So when we don't have that knowledge, so the intention of the majlis of ilm is not to attain knowledge for the sake of knowledge, but it should be so that I may learn those things by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, so that I may do them and please Allah. That is the one purpose of knowledge. The second is so that I may know those things which displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and displeasure of Allah really means your own destruction. Remember, there is no harm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding any person obeying or disobeying. So when we use the word pleasing or displeasing, it really means your own destruction on your own salvation and success. So the second purpose of the knowledge to attain or sit in the gathering of nasiha and zikr is to attain the knowledge of those beliefs, those practices, those emotions, those tendencies by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become displeased, and so that you may abstain, you may stop doing them, and may not displease Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this should be the intention. Another intention should be, after I will learn and practice, as I will be practicing, I will convey this knowledge and wisdom to myself first, then my family, close family, then my relatives, then the village or the area which I live in, then to the city, then to the province, and then to the entire country, and then to the whole face of the earth, and to even make intention of actually giving knowledge to human beings and jinnat of the entire earth, and also angels also attend these gatherings so that they may listen as well. Because some knowledge is given to you, human beings and Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, which actually some normal angels do not know. So they also come to participate in the majalis of zikr and nasiha and majalis, the gatherings of knowledge, to obtain the more ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and great awliya and salihin. An outward etiquette is that you sit in the mode of receiving, mode of learning and benefiting. Those things which you already know, a message comes, let's say a knowledge. I speak some words, for example, of knowledge. And the knowledge comes to my ears, to my brain. And I send a message, I already know this. You've blocked your brain. You've blocked anything to go towards your heart already. You've shut the doors already. Because your brain will send a message that I'm not listening to it. I will not retrieve or retain it. So you won't be able to benefit. So don't reject knowledge. Don't let your brain reject. That's why many people complain of that we don't remember things, we have bad memories. Really, they don't have bad memories. It is that they actually do not know how to use their brain. You learn how to brush your teeth, how to use other organs, you keep them clean, how actually utilize your mouth, you brush, you clean. Your eyes from, you save your eyes from harmful things. Similarly, brain is also an organ of your body, internal organ. You should learn how to use that as well. If you don't learn, obviously, then obviously it won't give you what it is supposed to give you. Let me give you one example. Remember, this is the adab I am saying. I have not started the discourse. This is some preliminary things which a person should know. For example, those people who have appointments and commitments that I will do this tomorrow, I will do this in the afternoon, I will do this in the evening. If that person doesn't do how he has actually put in the brain and convey the message to the brain that I am doing after Asr, I will do this tomorrow, I will attend the dentist tomorrow, I am going to say the prayers at this time, I will do dhikr at this time. If again and again you don't follow those commitments, your brain sends a message to itself that this person doesn't do. So it won't retain information next time when you will remind it for an appointment or a commitment, it will forget. Because you have actually abused it, so now it is, you are having a backlash from the brain. Because the brain says this is a person who don't have any order, who don't keep commitments, so your brain will be trained in such a way it will forget things which you will put in. That's one of the reason people have don't have bad memories, but that they don't know how to use the brain. Those people who are organized in the sense that they, when they make a commitment or they have to pay a bill, for example, or they have to do something, they will do things on time. Acha ye phone bhi unhe kahe ke band karne for the majlis, actually it shouldn't be disturbing in the mosque, actually uska plug bahar nikal de. These are the, what I am saying are all of the destructive matters that a person outwardly, when he will be secluded from them, only then the brain gives. This is one of the way to use the brain which I am mentioning to you. Because your brain is very, very sensitive. If a phone bell goes on, if there's noise comes out and you're thinking about that, and if you're daydreaming, then your attention will be obviously reduced. So whatever you are supposed to listen and understand, you won't be. So this is one of the ways to how to use the brain, that you focus on something and let the distractions actually go away as soon as much as possible. So a person who keeps his commitments to himself, I am paying this bill tomorrow, I am going to the dentist tomorrow, I am praying at this time, Zuhur, Asr, he will have a strong memory. He won't have a strong memory in the sense he didn't have before. Memory was already there, now the brain will be trained in such a way that the brain will say that this person keeps what actually he puts in me. And he does that thing, because the brain can then know that you have done or not. If you done, then it will be trained in such a way. Next time you will have anything in your mind, commitment, the brain, it will remind you. I'm just giving you this very simple example, that a person should know how to use his brain, rather actually also he knows how to use other things and organs of the body and machinery and computer. A computer might be very powerful. It might have a very powerful memory. It might have very super functions. If I don't know, I can't even check my email. I can't actually save one file of one page in it. I'll say my computer is rubbish. It can't even save anything. I press buttons and then I see the screen actually just goes clear after some time. But someone who knows that, he'll say that there is a way, firstly you write, and then there is a way to save it. And when you save it, it will save millions and millions of words and pages. Not even one page. So has the computer become more powerful, or the person has learned to use it? So think of your brain as well as a machine which you should be, and you should learn how to use it. There are few people who have this memory problem, not many. Others, just because they have ruined themselves either, like the way I said, or they don't know how to use it. And there are some minority who actually have weak memory. But if someone has a weak memory, it doesn't mean actually that they will become further away from Allah. If someone has a strong memory, it doesn't mean they will come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jalla knows the person who forgets. For example, let's say you are fasting. You don't have strong memory. You forgot that you were fasting. And you ate something. You ate something. Now the Sharia is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says that your fast is perfect. Your fast is perfect because actually you have forgotten something and ate. But rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah has fed this person. A person who drinks or eats in the fast by forgetfulness, this Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is Allah who has fed him. The rizq was in his destiny. Imagine, this gives us a lesson that the rizq is going to reach you even though you don't want it. A fasting person don't want to eat. A fasting person don't want to eat. He don't want to ruin his fast. He don't want to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you see that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah fed this person, that this rizq was in his destiny, although Allah's command is not to eat, the person doesn't want to eat, but still he will eat something. And some people really eat quite a few minutes and they don't remember. And some immediately remember, different actually people, different, however actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to feed the person. When the desired rizq will reach you, your stomach, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind you, you are fasting. And immediately you will. Such a strict order that if the rizq is not in your destiny, you will have to throw, and normally people we are fasting, as soon as they remember, they have chewed the whole the morsel, and they will actually go and throw it out. So ye message de raha, this is giving you a message, this is teaching you a lesson. The rizq which Allah has destined will reach you, and the rizq, and the provision which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not destined will not reach you. But we should adopt the means. It doesn't mean, because like this person fasting, he's adopting the means. He has actually made intention not to eat. So he is adopting the means, and even after adopting the means, that rizq will reach you, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined to you. And if you don't adopt the means, that is foolishness. So like some people were coming on the motorway, there was a big accident on the motorway yesterday in the evening. This big accident caused the traffic to stop. On the motorway, you can't even stop your car for 1 minute. You have to stop on the left side, hard shoulder. You can't imagine even stopping for 1 minute there. But these people, on the middle of the motorway, there were some people on the middle of the motorway stopping on a very busy motorway and praying their Maghrib Salah. And they were prostrating on the middle of the motorway. On the very middle of the motorway, they are prostrating, they are doing sajda. Could they imagine that ever they would do sajda on a busy, on a motor, not on a normal local road, not a footpath, but a motorway where a car can't stop for a second, and they will do sajda on that place, and that place is going to witness on the day of judgment. I think there will be few motorways who will be witnessing that people do sajda on them. Because people normally pass. And then, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you can just see, after adopting the means, if something, then whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants will come, whatever He doesn't want will come. But we are instructed to adopt the means. So forgetfulness is not actually that a person has a weak memory, he is now damned, or he is bad, or he is evil. No, he will be judged according to his own capability and intellect on the day of judgment. People who are highly intelligent, they will be judged according to that. People who are sharp and shrewd, they will be judged according to that. People who are simple, that's why Prophet ﷺ said, Akthar, the most of Ahlul Jannah, Buhla. They will be simple people. Straightforward, simple minded people. Rasulullah ﷺ said, the most of the people of Jannah, they will be straightforward, simple people, which some people think that they are very, very simple, straightforward, and the very other people who think they are very clever, they make mockery of them, they think they have actually deluded them, they have deceived them somehow. So majority of these crafty and clever people who think they are very clever, they will be in the hell. And simple-minded people, straightforward people, decent, they will go in Jannah, most of them. Abu Jahl was called Abu al-Hakam in the beginning. The Meccan, the Arabs, they called him Abu al-Hakam, the person of judgment. We will give very striking and judgments in disputes amongst people. Any problem will be brought and he will give a judgment. He will tell you a solution for it. And people gave him this title. But after this person rejected the knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and rejected the personality, then he is known as Abu Jahl. A knowledgeable person, person known for his wisdom, but then he becomes Abu Jahl, the father of the ignorance. So similarly, those people who you see are very, very up to date, I know this and I have done this degree and I have done this PhD, and then, but if they are rejecting, not benefiting from the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are also like Abu Jahl, meaning on a lesser degree, they are not considered knowledgeable people in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although they might think the people respect us and we are running companies or we are, but that knowledge will be of no avail. So these are some of the adab and etiquettes a person shows. Try to be conscious and present here. And internally also means that you don't actually wander, let your thoughts wander here and there. You don't actually use your mobile. Try actually to give it a rest as well. And inshallah your mind will become at rest as well. And you will retain that knowledge. This is one of the way to learn to how to use the brain. تو اب ہم شروع کرتے ہیں الحمدللہ نحمده ونستعینه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوکل علیه ونعوذ باللہ من شرور انفسنا ومن سیئات اعمالنا من یهده اللہ فلا مضل له ومن یضلله فلا هادی له ونشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ ونشهد ان سیدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وسلم اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم ایاک نعبد وایاک نستعین اہدنا الصراط المستقیم صراط الذین انعمت علیہم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين صدق الله العظيم In the Surah Al-Fatiha, a person is asking a question. Allah taught us to ask a question, and that question is about the path to Allah. صراط اللہ اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی انک لتہدی الی صراط مستقیم صراط اللہ الذی لہ ما فی السماوات صراط مستقیم the straight path and whole of the Quran from الف لام میم to والناس is the answer of that question. A short question, a very long answer. Surah Fatiha is basically a question. And whole of the Quran is answer to that question. The beauty of that is that Allah is the one who taught the question, Allah is the one who answered the question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught the question, Allah azawajal has answered the question. Because if we were asked to ask a question, we might have asked to Allah to give us more money. I don't have son, give me a son. We would ask according to our level. I like that car, give me that car. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave the question to us, but these people even do not know how to ask a question. They will ask something limited. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did He guide them to ask? Ihdi, guidance. Hidayah is the most valuable thing. Whoever has this hidayah, he is a beggar, he is a king, he is young or old, woman or man, rich or poor, he is successful. Whoever doesn't have hidayah, he is a king or president, rich, whatever, he is unsuccessful. And the Quran is full of the stories of these people who were kings, who were leaders, who were rich people. But this part, the hidayah, ihdina, guide us, this hidayah was missing. And Allah Azawajal showed their end in the Quran, what happened to them. The Quran also shows the end of those people who didn't have much material wealth, but they had hidayah. They had the guidance. They were poor people. And the Quran also shows their end, that their end, their end was very praiseworthy and successful. And who will guide through Sirat-e-Mustaqim? Now I can say, I have a straight path. You can say, I know the straight path. Can anyone say they have a straight path? The Christians say, we have straight path. We also have a kind of, everyone has a straight path of themselves. I am doing lot of charity, brother, but I am not praying, but I know Allah will forgive me due to that charity. So my straight path is, I thought this is the straight path. I am working for my children and family, and this is a worship as well. I don't have time for deen. That is the kind of straight path which I have actually defined myself. Another person, I will participate politically and become an MP and president, and look, I am looking after all the people, alhamdulillah, and mosques and things, and I will achieve salvation. This is my concept of Sirat-e-Mustaqim. It's very important to know that what in sight of Allah, what is Sirat-e-Mustaqim, that straight path. A person might have an idea, I am building a mosque, I am the committee member, I am the president, or I am the secretary, I am running the mosque or the Islamic center and building mosque after mosque, and why myself, I have built mosque, but I have never become a true musalli, a person who prays his prayers. But I have to build a mosque. And I think because other people will pray in it, I will also get reward and to be forgiven. This is my concept, straight path. And the other people just think that I think, they don't know really, they think. They say, I think I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think I love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I will be with him on the day of judgment. That is their concept of straight path, which even the companions did not understand this concept, which this person have understood. Like he is actually. And then there are other people who left the Sharia, who are not praying, who are doing zikr and who are secluded somewhere, and men and women are mixed, and they are learning and becoming spiritual. We are brothers, we have become very spiritual people. Because the spiritual spirits are neither female and male, so it doesn't matter if we mix as well. Very good theory. But the problem is that now it is, you are not in the form of spirits only. You have a body. So these people participate and they are becoming some kind of spiritual in their own notion. Men and women mixing and doing zikr or doing meditation and utilizing all these, some of the non-sharia, against sharia means, and not even praying and think we are enlightened somewhere, we are already in the heavens. Their concept of Sirat-e-Mustaqim is also there somewhere. They also have a concept of Sirat-e-Mustaqim. But which is the Sirat-e-Mustaqim of Allah? Where is that? And there are some people who consider in the Ramadan they become the pious people, they are attending the mosques. And they are actually, mashallah, praying Taraweeh and doing other things. These people also have a concept that after only for 1 month they are, and then rest of the year they slack on their prayers. Now in the adab, I also forgot to mention that if person feels sleepy, remember, he's a human being, he can fall sleepy, he can become ill. They are instructed, they should go and sleep. There is no benefit in sitting actually here then. Because then they can at least do the next task very well. Okay? MashaAllah, some people are ill, some people... Rasulullah ﷺ said that if a person is doing a worship, let's say he's praying Quran, or he's reciting Quran, he's doing Nawafil, or he's doing some other thing, then Prophet ﷺ said that if sleep overwhelms him, he should go and have rest. He should go and sleep. Alhamdulillah. There is no harm in there. It is good thing. It is following Sunnah. If I'm instruction of Rasulullah. But please don't sit here and sleep. And nor go into Muraqabah. This is not time of meditation. So inshallah try actually. Inshallah you sleep, you will get fresh, you will do it. And that's why the first people who follow the rules which are mentioned to them, like they are asked to sleep at, for example, the sleep time which is given, Fajr and Zuhr. And they think, I am going to become a really true worshipper, I will do zikr, and I will do Salatul Zuha, and thing. But then from necessary things, they will actually be lost. So even though people are not used to sleep after Fajr, many people, they are not used to sleep. But if they do lie down, after 1 or 2 days, they will learn to sleep. They can train their mind and biological clock to sleep at that time. So sleeping should be ample. The Mashayikh say the person should sleep enough, the person is fresh. So 6 hours, 7 hours sleep, Alhamdulillah. If it is, then a person should sleep another time as well for half an hour or so. Only then you will remain. Because otherwise the body will fulfill its need somehow. You see, if you don't do kailula means to have a nap, short nap, short sleep. If you, the psychologist and the people studied sleep, they say that the mind is programmed to sleep twice. The mind is programmed to sleep twice. One for a long sleep, one for a short sleep. When you won't sleep a long sleep and you won't sleep the short sleep, the body will fulfill its need somehow. You don't sleep, you'll be driving a car and you'll be asleep. Is that a good place to have a nap? On the middle of motorway? Or was that good that you followed the sunnah, that you've eaten something day and night or whatever, and you say, I will actually have a 20 minutes, half an hour nap. And alhamdulillah, you'll be fresh. Or you might be actually sitting in some majlis of dhikr and you might go to sleep. So remember, the body will fulfill its function. It will draw the effects of full capabilities, the full abilities will not be there, and you will be feeling drowsy. Maybe 15-20 minutes, you will become okay then. So the body will by force actually gain whatever it wants from you. So you will not, neither have a real rest, neither actually then some necessary things you will be doing, and you might actually fall asleep in that time. So follow Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, sleep for a long period, like 5, 6, 7 hours, and then have another set of sleep, rest 20 minutes, half an hour, not too much. And then inshallah, you will be performing at a higher level. So yeah. But as I said, there is no harm. Rasulullah ﷺ did instruct people that if sleep overtakes you, reciting Quran, reciting our prayers, then just go and sleep, simply. Taraweeh may be yahi masla hai. Taraweeh is a sunnah prayer. If a person is half asleep and half awake in Taraweeh and just don't know anything other than he is moving up and down with the people, it is recommended that that person also go and sleep. It was not actually farz or wajib to pray Taraweeh in with Jamaat. You can pray on your own as well. But if go zyada neend aa gayi hai, then go and sleep for a minute and read them others after. So I was saying to you that concept of Sirat-e Mustaqim, the straight path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, different people have different concept. Different people have different ideas. But Allah Azza wa Jal does not accept those ideas. And that's the concept of Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Where we will find the Sirat-e-Mustaqim which we have asked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Surah Al-Fatiha. Where will we find that? Allah Azza wa Jal said in another verse to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ Verily you, and it means only you. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ You are the person, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are the one who will guide toward the Sirat Mustaqim. So now it has been defined, finished the matter. That's why our Mashayikh have named this course Tariqa Muhammadiyya, the way, the sirat, the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because that is the one only sirat-e-mustaqim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ sirat-e-mustaqim, that your path of Muhammad, you guide toward sirat-e-mustaqim. Sirat-illahi alladhi, the path of Allah, who is the Lord of heavens and earth, that is the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, my path is also the path of which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches. So that's why the Mashayikh says it is Tariqa Muhammadiyya. Tariq means path and way and sirat, and Muhammad means the path which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw. So the Quran itself asks a question and then it answers you as well. That where you will find وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي, that you guide. A person is asking, اِهْدِنَا, O Allah, guide us. And Allah is saying, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي, O Messenger, you will guide them. إِلَىٰ صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمِ, towards the path of the straight path. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that don't think that path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is different other than my path, then Allah says, this is Sirat-illah, this is my path as well. This is Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Sirat-e-Mustaqim is the path of Allah. But how will it reach us? Because many people are confused. The ideas which I gave you before, everyone have, I have built a charity hospital, I am in Jannah, I am helping the poor, I am in Jannah, I am doing zikr, and I am in Jannah, no matter I am fulfilling the rights of people or not. So everyone can say that we are good with Allah, if it was said the path of Allah. Everyone can say, I have a path of Allah as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, to remove this confusion, said that Sirat-e-Mustaqim is the innaka latahdi ila sirat-e-mustaqim, the path of my messenger, the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, bring your ideas and check if they are right now. Check against what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And you will know that you have Sirat-e-Mustaqim or do not have Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Well, you have your own idea, shaitanic idea of salvation. It will be beautiful, it will look good. Shaitan is not going to bring something evil and say it is good for to you, which you know it is evil. You will be confused yourself that I am successful. Because from truly, even you ask most people, they will say we are spiritual people. We are religious people. We are, brother, you don't know in what I do, when I have some special virtues which I do. And I am good person, I help people, or I do other things. So they have their own idea. So I am saying that these all are rejected. Only the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is validated. And Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam even said, these people who go to these other ideas of salvation to become spiritual and enlightened, and then they leave many of the Islamic teachings, and they say, our Shaykh says this, our teacher says this, our Shaykh said this, no matter it is against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way, because our Shaykh says this, we will do this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered to this false idea of people. He, alayhi salatu wasalam, made it so clear. He said that even if Musa, the son of Imran, alayhi salam, the prophet of Allah, was alive today, who spoke directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu spoke to him, and he still have that quality. If he comes back, Sayyidina Musa, alayhi salam, he still have that quality to speak to Allah. Imagine, to speak to Allah and to hear Allah. But Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, he will also have to follow my path. And that person is in direct communication with Allah. And there can be no doubt the Prophet can be mistaken. But when Allah has closed all the doors now, so Rasulullah s.a.w. said, if Laukana, if Musa was high, living today in the face of the earth, he will have no other option but to follow me. And we know this, and some people will see with their own eyes, then the Isa, the son of Mary, Isa bin Maryam alayhi salam, the great prophet of Allah, the great miraculous prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he will come, he will follow the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Isa alayhi salam is greater than any other sheikh of the world, any wali of the world, because he is a prophet of Allah. Musa alayhi salam is greater than any wali of the world. So when they have to leave their own paths and own sharia's, own ways, and own order of sharia and follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so who is now in this ummah to say that no, my shaykh have a different order, he has a different sunnah, he has a different methodology, no matter if it is against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, no, I have a, I'm following this order or this path or this theory or this jamaat. Really, these people are deluded people. Because after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any path a person will follow which is against it, they sooner or later will actually be destroyed. And they will be following no one other than Shaitan. And Shaitan. So now, these discourses are really to obviously teach and remind myself and yourself and for those people especially who for themselves they want to learn the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how to teach and to others as well. How to teach others as well. How to convey the message to others. How Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam change the lives of companions. His blessed methodology. His blessed way to do that. And how to bring a sinful, let's say a brother who is actually away from deen, how to bring back him back to Allah. Who have followed other people, who is following other fashions and others, and then they actually have left the lifestyle of Rasulullah. How to bring them back. Pop stars of the world, many of them, they say they became Muslim and died. So me and you, I am still wearing the shirt like a certain pop star, and maybe that he has left it completely and put it in bin. But I am still, so what to say about my wisdom, that how actually I am. So now we begin how our Mashaykh actually taught, and how Mashaykh they learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the light of Quran and Hadith, and from the generations, and from Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, his blessing fares. It begins from the teaching that the initiation process is to firstly pray 2 rakat nafal salah for the pleasure of Allah. And for the guidance and wisdom, in order to reconnect the people to his path, his way. Let's say you go to a brother and you say you want to teach him deen, you want to bring him out of sin, out of the lifestyle. This is not the proper way to just to go and say, brother, you are doing bad things and this is not good. Well, he knows that already, maybe more. or you want to initiate the person on the path of Rasulullah ﷺ, on the tariqa Muhammadiyah, on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those people should special take note actually, who will want to learn to teach this path to others, do the halaqats and initiate people. So what we will begin with, Rasulullah ﷺ said, firstly pray two rakat nawafil salat, two rakat dafal of salat al-hajat for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the guidance is going to come from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Rasulullah ﷺ, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Whoever you love, that person will not receive guidance. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah will guide whomever actually so He wills. Because Rasulullah ﷺ loved that all ummah came upon guidance. Don't everyone know this? The Prophet ﷺ desired and he loved the ummah to be on guidance, and all ummah, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, amongst the tribes of Quraysh, they didn't actually come on guidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. The people who you like to be guided and who you love, necessarily they will not be guided, because for guidance a want is required. There is a value, there is a price for guidance. And that price is that the person should have the true want to have that guidance. So our job, if we want people to come towards guidance, is to develop that want in them, that desire, that thirst in them. Then the guidance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Musarrif al-Qulub. He has rules and regulations when He will change the hearts of people. But when it will be changed, I've told you one very pivotal thing, when they will have the want and yearning. So I can't guide them, but I can build that thirst and yearning and that true desire to be guided in them. And that is the price, that is which if they will have this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does guide them. So, because the guidance will come from Allah Azza wa Jal, if you want to do a bayan, let's say, a person, your family member calls, brother, it's month of Ramadan, come and we want you to give a talk. Or you come into the mosque, or you have a study circle, that brother, they ask you to give a talk. What is the way? You just go there and prepare some notes and give talk. Yes, you can do that, but that is not the way of Anbiya. That is not the way of Awliya, Salihin. Because they rely on the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The guidance is the water of guidance. The water of life will come from Allah. The thirst for that water, you can develop as well. I cannot guide, but I can develop that thirst in the person. You see, the relationship. One is the guidance and hidayah, and one is the want for that hidayah. Guidance comes where the want is, and I don't have the guidance to give the other person. I cannot change his heart, but I can develop that want in that person, and then inshallah he will be guided anyway by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he has the prerequisite. So, Mashayikh, in the light of teaching of Prophet ﷺ, saying that firstly a person should submit to Allah, he should pray two rakat Salatul Hajat, prayer of need. Oh Allah, I am of a duty and I have been charged with this to give, to go, I'm going to these brothers or these sisters to give them nasiha or to get them out of the shaitanic and the devilish slavery, or to give a speech in the mosque or in the center, anywhere. So what you do, the first thing, individually or for collectively, you do wudu, repent, be yourself in with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Let your relationship, if your self relationship is ruined with Allah, what are you going to actually give other people? They will also get defective message. They will get message, they will get defective message. So first thing which you do in the initiation process, or to do a bayan, or to do actually guide, is ask the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with you. Because when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he was given the orders to go, فَذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ تَغَىٰ فَقُلْ هَلَّكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَىٰ. Musa alayhi salam said that, O Allah, that I can't speak very well. There is some difficulty in speaking. Plus I have killed by accident a person amongst them, and they blame me that I have killed them intentionally. And I fear that they will actually take revenge from me. And I can't speak very well. So look, he is being simple. He is actually asking help from Allah. What are these words saying, in other words? Ponder over. It is not word. It is the way to show ajzi, tawadu. Otherwise, Musa alayhi salam was the prophet of Allah. He had this intellect, he had the wisdom, and he could speak with wisdom as well. But when he sent for dawa of Pharaoh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is saying, Fazhab, that you go towards Pharaoh, ila Fir'aun. To imagine that you are asked to go towards your friend who has also actually gone on the path of Pharaoh, who thinks, I know the way to live, I know the lifestyle to live. He also become a small Pharaoh. Pharaoh is not only the Pharaoh which has passed. Every person who says, I know better than Allah, he is Pharaoh. And I know how to live. Allah has created, he doesn't know how we should live really. I know how to live my life. So that person is also Pharaoh. Because in the Quran, when the Pharaoh is mentioned, he's not mentioned for that Pharaoh who has passed away. He is already passed away, he is meeting his end, he is experiencing the azab. An-naru, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that they are fire of hell is presented to them, ghuduwan wa ashiyya, evening and morning fire of hell is presented on Pharaoh and his army now in the barzakh. They have reached their end. They are seeing the scenes. They are experiencing the scorching fire and punishment of the grave. But why the Pharaoh is mentioned in the Quran? For whom? For me and you. For me and you. There can be no benefit for Pharaoh now in there. Pharaoh ke liye koi fayda nahi. There can be no benefit for Pharaoh in the guidance mentioned in the Quran, in the story of Moses, peace be upon him, and Pharaoh. Only beneficiary can be you now. There can be no benefit for the people who passed away now, even in this ummah. Now there is no benefit of that affair actually. But yes, you who are living, you are the person who can capitalize or who can actually reun yourself. But I'm teaching you through the teaching of Rasulullah and the Mashaykh and the Quran, that how to initiate means how to start calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now first person is yourself. First person is yourself, this poor soul which you have in yourself. A person who is very compassionate with birds, that person is keeping 10 birds and is not feeding them. That person is keeping 15 birds and is not feeding them very well. I am going to talk to him. The brother, this is zulm. Free them or feed them. This is not allowed. And this person, when these people, they said, you are a very compassionate person. Brother, really, we have actually learned from you. We freed our birds. We want to come to thank you. And then they come into his house. He has one bird in the cage which is near death actually, to starvation, which has nearly starved to the death. And they will all say, brother, you've been giving these speeches for the last 10 years to us actually to free these animals and birds. What we are seeing, look, this is almost actually closer to death, and it is completely bones we can see of this bird or animal. What you are doing? And then what he has to say? Because he can't say anything now. That is his own bird. This is the example of a person who is well-wisher of everyone. Brother, come to the deen, come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, come to Jannah. And his own bird, his own soul, which is in his cage, is dying from lack of iman, is dying from the lack of the water of life and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His own is dying. So this will be known that it is all hypocrisy, or it is just delusion this person knows. So the first thing, or the first soul to give the message, is which is within yourself first. So these teachings are not for others, they are after, they are secondary nature. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us this order in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O believers, qu means, this is simple word, it only have two letters. Qu means save. Save who? The world, children, the other people? No, firstly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, anfusakum, your own soul. Save this soul. This is also a soul. This is also a body. This is also one body, one heart, one soul you have. The greatest right which you have is of this one, first soul. Have you not heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when you give wealth to people, firstly, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى. Firstly, the closer people. Qurba, the close relatives. Firstly, the close ones have more rights. Firstly, you give them your own wife, then you feed the wife of someone else. And your own children are dying and you're feeding others. This is not actually the teaching of deen. So when we are to give water of life and the divine food to, we intend to give guidance to others, where is the first right? Who has the first right? Who is most closer to you? Who is most closer to you? Brother, you tell me, who is the most closer to you? Who is the most closer to you? Most closer to you? Family. Family is most closer, but closer to you even, closer than the family is who? Brother, you tell me. Sorry? Your mother. Even closer to your mother. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam already have achieved salvation. He doesn't need guidance, you see. Is the one who need guidance. Prophet ﷺ is closer to ourselves even. It is your own self, own soul, own nafs, own spirit, own ruh. That is the most closer, which is within this cage. This is the most closest thing to you. So when you have want to give guidance, the most right who have upon you is yourself. That is why Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, He didn't mention family. He said, O anfusakum, save your own nafs, save your own nafs, wa ahlikum, then your mother, your father, your children, your wife, and then the other. But this poor soul is dying due to the lack of iman and amal salihah, and we are doing so. This is, if a person have this order, then know that that person will cause more harm than actually benefit to others as well. Because the motive will not be right. His own self has not tasted. And he is not even on the path to self-purification, path to the pleasure of Allah. And so there can be other things. That's why there are fights in the mosque, one person blaming the other. Committees are fighting, people are fighting. Because the motive sometimes is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The motive becomes the ego. That becomes the God. So one says, so God is the one who is dominate. So that when person says his ego is God, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ, that the person who made his desires, his nafs, his God, he will inevitably want domination. So he say, I want to dominate. This is the fight of God. They are not going to sit there. Even if they are false gods, but they are not going to sit there because they claim attribute of godship. So they have reasons. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these people, some people have made their desires their god. So this becomes a false god, whilst you are actually teaching others and you are being cut into pieces, your iman and amal inside you. So the initiation process begins to firstly to pray 2 rakat nafal salah. You enjoin, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Like I was giving the example of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Allah is giving him permission. He is giving him permission to go to Pharaoh. But what he is saying, oh Allah, I cannot speak very well. My brother Harun, afsahu minni, he is more fluent. No, but when in our gathering, we want to be on that the top seat. I always want to be the president. But Anbiya alayhi salam, look, they are, even at that time, Hazrat Harun was not with him. But he is preferring actually that he comes. He is given the message. And then he is showing his helplessness, Musa alayhi salam, that I am weak, oh Allah. Look, I cannot speak very well. Why? He could speak very well. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not send him. He is showing humbleness because at that very time, he has heard the kalam of Allah. So now he is comparing his kalam with the kalam of Allah. Why would he not feel that I can't speak very well? When a great Qari recites Quran, and you and me are just sitting, we think, oh, our tilawat is not good at all. It might be good already. But at that time, it was the first time when Musa alayhi salam was coming, and he heard the kalam of Allah, the sweet, the most enjoyable kalam, which only the Prophet of Allah has heard. Inni anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni. And he liked that kalam so much. So when he thought that how I speak, he thought this is not good. Although the prophets of Allah has, all prophets of Allah has a beautiful voice. Some have more or less amongst them, but they all have the very sweet voice. But at that time, Musa alayhi salam is actually comparing, after soon he has heard the kalam of Allah, so now his own speech is looking not good for him. So he is saying that, oh Allah, I can't actually speak, take someone else. Other thing, he is showing humbleness, he is showing tawadu, he is asking help from Allah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says that, Inni asma'u wa ara. That I am listening, I am hearing, I am watching and seeing, and I am with you. Look, these three concepts of the tariq which are taught again and again, Allah is teaching Musa alayhi salam. He is reminding Musa alayhi salam, you go, I am with you. Innani ma'akuma, I am with you, both of you, I'll be with you. Asma'u, I'm hearing, wa ara, and I am looking. So these three keys of awareness are not just taken by any person or any scholar or such. These are taken from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How he taught Anbiya alayhi salam, and the Anbiya conveyed the same message actually to the others as well. So he's showing his helplessness and other things, and then asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. When he is going there, he's saying, Allah, help me with ayats, with signs, with power. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, Wazmum ila yadaka fi janahik. He gave them the sign of the stick, of the staff, which will become into serpent and others. This is help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have this idea sometimes. We say, if Allah could do a miracle for us, a karamat, this person will be guided. If Allah can show karamat for me, this person will be guided. But did Pharaoh become guided because of those miracles? No. These people are not misguided because they have not seen miracles. this is another reason. Abu Jahl with his own eyes and the people of Makkah saw the moon split into two, half, one half going towards one mountain and one half going towards the other mountain. And they even again actually, they said, no, we are not going to believe, we are not. Na ka koi jawab nahi hai. No, have no reason, they say. Sometimes, no, have no reason. Woh kehte hain, humne manna hi nahi. Jab nahi manna to uska koi wajah bhi baaz dafa nahi. There is no reason sometimes. And there are other ulterior reasons, but these people do not tell. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is asking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also giving us lesson that don't think that if you had some miracle, some extraordinary power, these people you'll be able to impress, brother, they will come towards guidance. No, no, no. They're not going to come. Who are going to come? They will come with the such just the message of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And who is not going to come, even though they see the moon split into two, or they see the staff changing into serpents, they are not going to come. But he, alayhi salam, is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, requesting. And Rasulullah salam taught us how we can communicate with Allah. A person said, you know, when I get affected, when I am very upset, I phone someone. And I feel a little bit relieved, but sometimes that person is busy and I'm really distressed. I say that, why you don't phone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You are phoning people, but you do not phone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, how we can phone Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the number? I say, this is only 2-digit number, 2 rakat of Salat al-Hajr. 2-digit number, you do the wudu, and actually, you pay 2 rakat, you are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say whatever you want. And that's what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. So why you are distressed? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this way, how to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly, and show your humbleness and tawadu that, oh Allah, I cannot guide, I don't have knowledge. Like Musa alayhi salam, you also asked, I don't have this knowledge, I don't have this guidance. So it is said, pray 2 rakat nawafil salah for the pleasure of Allah, to please Allah. This is the ultimate aim. Why? Because all why you are going to someone, why you are giving dawah to yourself is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should be the aim. Not to gain fame and name, not to gain good name that you are this or you are doing this, because then you have made someone else your God. And then it is said, and for guidance and wisdom in order to reconnect the people to the path of Allah. Ask Allah Zawajal for guidance. Guidance means hidayah, the knowledge that you can say to these people, you can speak with that knowledge which is beneficial for. So pray to Allah Zawajal, Allah bestow such knowledge that this brother or this gathering, it is beneficial for them. Oh Allah, turn their hearts, make their heart tender, make their heart lenient, make their hearts in the receiving mode so that they can listen to the guidance of yours. And then person should also pray for wisdom. Wisdom means to apply the knowledge in the proper way, at the proper time, in the proper place. So if you might have a good knowledge, but if you are speaking to a person who doesn't know anything about science, you've not even learned anything, and you give him, brother, I'm going to explain to you scientific miracles of Quran, so that person might not get anything out of it. So wisdom is to reshape your knowledge which fits this person's mind. The simple-minded person brings simple example. If it is a scientist, bring scientific example. If he is a lawyer, bring that kind of. So what does hikmah, wisdom, means? To speak in the most appropriate way, at the most appropriate time, and in the most appropriate place, and with the most appropriate, according to the most appropriate person, actually, with you. So wisdom means to, knowledge is guidance, knowledge, and then wisdom means how to apply this, how to convey this now to this person. And Rasulullah ﷺ used very, very drastic examples to explain to people. Because they were simple people, Prophet ﷺ, would give it to him. Brother, I am going to explain to you scientific miracles of Quran. So that person might not get anything out of it. So wisdom is to reshape your knowledge which fits this person's mind. The simple-minded person brings simple example. If it is a scientist, bring scientific example. If he is a lawyer, bring that kind of. So what does hikmah, wisdom, means? To speak in the most appropriate way, at the most appropriate time, and in the most appropriate place, and with the most appropriate, according to the most appropriate person, actually, with you. So wisdom means to, knowledge is guidance, knowledge, and then wisdom means how to apply this, how to convey this now to this person. And Rasulullah ﷺ used very, very drastic examples to explain to people. Because they were simple people, Prophet ﷺ would give examples to them. Sometimes he would draw diagrams for them on the ground to explain to them. So once Rasulullah ﷺ said that, what do you say about the person who he works in the fields, and between his work and his house there are five rivers, and they are deep, their water is clean, and this person bathes in the first one, and the second one, and the third one, fourth one, fifth one. And what do you think? There will be any dirt left on that person? The Sahaba is one of them, because they lived there, they knew the value of rivers, how actually wonderful they are, and appreciation they have, because the Arabs, they knew about these things very well. Water is scarce, water is less there. And working in the fields, and what happened, they were very much aware of that. So Prophet ﷺ gave appropriate example to them, and they said no. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, if there no dirt will be left, this is the example of the person who lives in the world. The day is his work, the full day, living in the full day is his work, and these five rivers are the five prayers of the day. These five rivers are the five prayers of the day. When he goes to the first prayer, his body is washed. Then the other dirt, dealing with people, living, eating, drinking, many things can happen wrong. He prays Dhuhr prayer, he's again washed. Asr prayer again. After Isha, he is clean. So this example is appropriate for those people, understand, and for others as well. But if you know that person, a person who never seen river in his life, who doesn't know what work in fields is, and who doesn't sleep after Isha, his day starts after Isha. So to give him example, that example would not be appropriate as such. He will say, after Isha, if I am clean, I actually start doing, I go to casino at that time, the clubs open at that time. So for him, you will have to actually find other example which Rasulullah ﷺ gave appropriate to these people. So Prophet ﷺ would speak according to the level, according to the knowledge, according to the understanding of these people. That's why the books written by other people sometime, this is a book by a great philosopher of Islam, and what will happen is that 90% people won't understand it. That is true. If it is written by a great philosopher in the great wisdom where of Islam is explained, 90% people won't understand. But Rasulullah ﷺ, his blessed teaching, you mention to anyone, a layman, a farmer, an educated person, he will understand. So wisdom, you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, for knowledge to give you after doing the Salat al-Hajat, and asking Allah Azawajal to give you the appropriate way and method to convey, and what will be the purpose? To reconnect the people to His path. So the purpose should be, let the servant have close relationship with the Creator. Not that the servants have close relationship with me, they be serve me with money, and they are doing my khidmah, and alhamdulillah, I am very happy, even though they are not actually practicing Allah's mandate of command as far as they are actually giving me benefit. So it is not to connect people with you, it is to connect people, the purpose is to connect people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To connect people with Allah's messenger, to connect people with the pious and righteous. Because all these connections are with Allah. Sometimes directly with Allah, sometimes indirectly with Allah. Who is connected to the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He is also connected to Allah, but indirectly, with wasila. And who is connected to the Sahaba? He is connected to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but indirectly. And he is connected with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala as well. These all things which have relationship with Allah, like Akhirah, the Kalam of Allah, the Deen of Allah, the Messengers of Allah, the Awliya of Allah, whoever you are connected with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So, once you have done this dua and you know the purpose that you are connecting people with Allah, not actually that you are on a mind game, ego trip. Trip hote hai na, people take different trips to France and other places and Mecca and the Muslim. Some people, na'uz billah, we also, especially myself included there, they are an ego trip. All the craftiness is actually for that my ego get praise. So some people even say by word, say Subhanallah, because I've said some speech very good. Say Subhanallah, loudly, so that I can get praise. So the nafs actually gets water from that preaching. Like some people, the media people, they get clapping and they get other kinds of slogans. Now these people, the ego is the same. The person who is dancing, the person who is singing song, he has ego, and this person who is standing on the pulpit of Rasulullah and mentioning matters of deen, the ego is the same. Ego want appreciation. They give with clapping and saying their name and slogans and screaming, and this person say, if I say to them, scream and say my name, they will never say. But, okay, I say to them, say Subhanallah, when you like what I'm saying, say Subhanallah, so my ego is more actually, more wind, more air is pumped into it, so it becomes more happy. But some people really, they tell their followers that not only, they are not happy on this as well. They say that my followers, you are my true murid, true shagird. When I do the speech, say my name and say such and such, Zindabad, mashallah, and others will say, so that they can know actually. So you can know that all this is an ego trip and craftiness actually to catch people to reconnect with you, not for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, but for other reasons. So then you've lost the purpose. It was better than you have worked and, you know, somewhere toilet cleaning, you're doing your halal rizq or sweeping the streets, that would be more better than. Because this now, because you are on the tour to deceive Allah. And this is a bad beginning. This is a bad tour. This is a bad journey. And when you come out of the house to deceive your mother and father, will say, this is a bad trip. Why you are going out to actually deceive your mother and father? And this person has gone out to deceive Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, na'udhu billah. It is his deen, his sunnah. He, Rasulullah sallam, left it for to connect people with Allah, and he is using to connect them actually with himself. And money, and if people, these people then are after money as well. If they, you don't pay them appropriate fee, £200 an hour or so or something, they say, well, this is your first and last time of our presence here. You won't get us again. Yes, it's appropriate to pay expenses. The first people should pay expenses, because if these people are traveling, doing dawah from country to country, or they go very frequently to city, obviously they can't afford, many of them, in the halal way. So that is appropriate. I encourage and do very much that you are imams, you are preachers, that definitely with your own will and happiness, pay their expenses wherever they are going for deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they can go more. I mean, I can't go everywhere. And if I go, I won't be able to do that service which a scholar, which a knowledgeable person can do. So they shouldn't be asking from the people where they have gone for example, who do a speech. Now brother, I have finished my speech and now, you know, I have children and wife, please actually can you participate a little bit. All of the influence and the effect of the speech and the dawah will be gone. So who was appropriate? It was the people who organize or the people who are his, they should pay his even expenses. But for dawah purpose, a person should not ask any compensation, any meaning, any money for dawah, if you're teaching in a classroom, Yes, that is your job, you are paid. If you are imam, if you are muazzin, you have a duty to perform. And you perform it, you get money, alhamdulillah, that is good, that is halal. But when you are calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam and awliya saliheen, then a person shouldn't take anything from them. Or not ask anything from them for himself. But others, as I said, yes, this doesn't mean that because these speeches, sometimes other people listen and the ulama, other things, our difficulties are, you create for us. So I'm not creating difficulty, I'm saying rather to people that they have a imam, they have a sheikh, they have a murshid, or they have a imam of the mosque, they should happily, eagerly pay their expenses so that they can go to different places and do, and they can participate. But these people who are going, they should not be asking the gatherings who they are addressing, who they are giving dawah. Because actually, then these people will think that after all this craftiness is for this money only matter. And the effect will be lost. So that's why all Anbiya, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala repeated this verse 7 times, more than 7 times in the Quran regarding different Anbiya. Qul, Azza wa Jal said to Anbiya, you say, O Hud, O Saleh, O my Prophet, say, La as'alukum alayhi ajra. I don't ask any recompense. I don't ask any reward, any money, any worldly return from you. In ajriya illa ala Allah. My ajr is with Allah. If you are doing it for your Lord, He will pay you. He will pay you. So this is the first thing which you should have, and you should practice in order actually to begin. Then this should be done once before people are initiated on the course, or you are going beyond or anything like this. And then inshallah, firstly we have mentioned it for yourself only, so teach yourself these things and apply. And inshallah, then we will be tomorrow carrying on with the other parts of the course and the process. And inshallah, this will be beneficial for us and others. As well. Now if you have any question regarding what's being said, you may ask. So this will be continuous 9 days or 10 days series, which will inshallah continue, and inshallah by the end hopefully you will learn many things.
Can you please raise your hands when you ask a question, and those shout out the questions?
You can write as well if you wish, for learning and benefit. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you give the other mic to the brother so that the people who are listening from home and other things, they can listen to the question?
Very sophisticated arguments. They think it's sophisticated, and they say we have our way. Like, for example, last week we met somebody had a problem. They said they don't believe in the Hadith, they only believe in the Quran. And for us, it's simple that this is not. But they've studied, and they've associated with people with the same understanding. How do we? And they use big words and big language, and I didn't feel, and this happens a lot with different groups, you don't feel you can debate with them or discuss with them. So have you got any advice on how you deal with these kind of people?
As you have heard what the brother is saying, mashallah, that he said that he had met someone, or sometimes we also encounter, for example, awkward people. For example, they would say, there are some people that I don't believe in the Hadith, but they are very knowledgeable people, they have studied, they have actually studied the Quran, studied the books, and they are scholarly people. So how we deal with them, that should we argue with them or do anything? Firstly, one should know that, as I said, that the knowledge Rasulullah sallam said, I seek refuge from that knowledge which does not benefit. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. O Allah, I seek your protection. Save me from that knowledge that does not benefit. So, knowledge always does not benefit. To make a knowledge into a beneficial knowledge, it actually have to match, actually, according to the teachings and life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you are, you shouldn't be surprised to meet these people, because their teacher, which is, you should be surprised to meet, which is Shaitan itself. He has more knowledge than them. These people only have studied books. He's even seen with his own eyes the lives of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Seen with his own eyes the Jannah. So this is more surprise for him. So they are his actually students on a lower level, which actually are working. Because his destruction began also for not respecting and honoring a prophet. He said, I'm happy with Allah. But the prophet, no, Adam is like me. He is very young, I am very aged. Look, I'm thousands of years of age. Some people have this idea. This person is young. He said, Adam al-Islam is young. Look, he is made from the clay as well. And I'm happy to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not this person. Allah Azawajal did not accept this. So, these people, when they say that they don't believe in hadith, sometimes one should inquire, and the giving dawah to them in a way is to inquire why don't they, for example, believe. So they might say there are hadiths which are fabricated, and say that we also believe that we don't believe in those hadiths, for example. The hadiths are fabricated. But if they believe in Quran, this is just like saying, I believe the sun has risen, but I don't believe the sun gives light. I don't believe in the light. This light is not of the sun outside. Outside, the light is not of the sun. I believe in the sun, but I don't believe this light is from the sun. So, the Quran is the sun, the guidance of Allah, and the hadith is the light of the same sun. So really, when they read Quran, you ask them, when Allah Azawajal said, أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولِ, that follow Allah and follow the Rasul. So following Allah means following the Quran, simple. So if the same thing is applied, أَتِيُوا الرَّسُولِ also means follow the Quran, then why different words is used, that follow the messenger? There is something additional to it. But the best thing is actually that you just simply should not engage into argument. If a person does engage into argument, they should do in the best way, so that at least you are able to meet that person again. So it is not the faces turn red and actually there is a fight going on, and then actually swearing words and thing, you are this and you are this. That is against the teaching of Dawah. Udu'a ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'izatil hasana. وَجَادِلْهُمْ, if you have to argue, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَجَادِلْهُمْ, argue, or actually answer their question, بِاللَّتِيهِ أَحْسَنِ, in a best way. Don't lose your tone of your voice, don't become agitated, and just simply, tenderly, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Pharaoh, to Musa alayhi salam, regarding Pharaoh, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَا, go and speak to him in a gentle way, in a soft way. So no one can be bad than Pharaoh this time, for example. So speak, these people do not listen to high pitched voices, or you become show your anger, and these are not effective things. So you speak with them and just invite them towards actually the true teaching that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has mentioned again and again, follow this messenger, follow this messenger. And we can only follow this messenger if this messenger have actually teachings existing as well. That's all. A person should not argue, but keep a contact with them somehow. And inshallah, if they will have the want and desire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them. We are not charged that we are to change by force everyone. So as I said, the people of Makkah, all people of Makkah did not believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should not take upon ourselves this duty to change anyone. But our duty is to convey and remind. Convey and remind. Not change. Convey and remind. And not to actually change. That is up to them and between them and Allah Azza wa Jal. So arguments, debates never actually are mostly are not fruitful. Very seldom. You've seen the debates happening between ulama. You will see on the cassettes, the video cassettes or on the internet, that these two sides are sitting with very pleasing faces and smiling faces and happy. And I advise don't see what happens in between. Just see the last part. And hardly you will see anyone even sitting. They will be standing, and like women, they will be, you know, talking with their fingers and their arms, and they will be scored. He's a nice brother. He speaks well. He doesn't become. He invited me to his house, and this might actually be an invitation as well. So sometimes you can't give knowledge, dawah with knowledge. You have to give dawah with your amal, how you are behave, how you talk. That is dawah for these disbelieving people or people who are not on the right path. For them, they won't listen to words, whether this is the path of Allah, this is the sunnah, this is the no. They won't know, but you give them dawah with another technique, and that is your conduct at that time with them. That itself is dawah. That itself is dawah for these people. How you speak, how you behave, how you react, how you behave with them as a human being. So then you turn your switch to this type of dawah. Forget about the knowledge what he is saying. Then you switch to another mode. Actually, just be good. And that's what it means, qalu salama, that they say peace and they, meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ, when the ignorant people address them and they want them to draw them into argument and into debate and saying bad words, qalu, they only say something which is peaceful. Qalu salama. Salam doesn't mean here, say assalamu alaikum. That one can say that. But this will not give right message. If a person is there, you say assalamu alaikum, you can say that. That's also included in the tafsir as that. But salama really is that you speak with them in peaceful manner. If you're not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are not wa ibadur rahman. These are not the ibadur rahman. These can be the ibadur shayateen. That they always, it is the shaitanic way to argue. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not argue with shaitan. Has anyone got more knowledge than Allah? No. And shaitan is putting an argument, look. Shaitan is putting an argument. Ana khayrum min. I am better than him. Imagine the scenario that angels are prostrating, they're all there. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is addressing them. Adam al-Islam is there and matter is happening in the heaven. Imagine the scene. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, yeah, look, they didn't become angry, displeased with him. He just said, Ya Iblis, O Iblis, Ma manak, what stopped you from not actually prostrating? And he's saying, Ana khayrum min, I am better than him. Argument. Khalaqtani min nar, you created me from fire. And khalaqtahu min teen, and you created him from dust. Now if Allah wanted, couldn't he answer him? If Allah wanted to encounter his argument, who have more knowledge than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But Allah azza wa jal didn't encounter him. He said that if you do not, he didn't answer this argument. He said that because he has become rebellious now, tatakabbar, you become an arrogant, abha wastakbar, wakana min al kafirin, you become a disbeliever, fahbid. Now you get out, escape, and descend from these heavens. This is not a place for you now. But still Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him something. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. He still is, when he is sent down, he is still saying, oh Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is it? Andirni ila yawmi yubasoon. Give me life until day of judgment. Don't punish me before. Although you are displeased, please don't punish me. Give me a long life. He could have died at that time immediately. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, okay, fun. I have given you this. Go. Look the behavior of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with him, then look at his behavior. So we have an example in Anbiya, we have an example in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we had an example in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to encounter. So at that time you should also not, you know, that person is not, he is in the debate mode, he is not in the mode of listening, he is not in the mode of believing, he don't want to be convinced, he don't want to actually believe, even though you say something very logic, then at that time don't actually argue or with his arguments, but actually do something else. Be in a good way, good conduct. Alhamdulillah, say we should leave now and leave him in peace, and we say we'll see you another time. And inshallah, you've left a ray of hope there. But if you have actually said to him, you are in hell and I will be burning in hell like a kebab or something, then you don't have any hope. When next time he sees you, he will, the image of him burning in like kebab will come in his mind. And he will not have nice words to say to you as that. So ye hai. हाँ ठीक है अभी आपने वो दूसरे हलकात भी सो यू कैन ब्रदर्स कैन हैव अ ब्रेक फॉर 50 मिनट अंटिल क्वार्टर टू फाइव एंड देन इंशाल्लाह यू कैन आल्सो बिकॉज नियर नॉलेज टू लर्न स्पेशली फॉर द न्यू पीपल टू लर्न द बेसिक लेवल ऑफ अकीदा बिलीव्स ऑफ इस्लाम बेसिक लेवल ऑफ द रूल एंड रेगुलेशन ऑफ प्रेयर एंड द बेसिक लेवल ऑफ तज़किया विच वी विल बी गोइंग थ्रू एंड इंशाल्लाह then you can revise yourself after Asr or do other amals. So from Asr to Maghrib, Maghrib to Isha, and mostly Isha to then half 2 o'clock, you are free almost to do individual. So this is the only intensive session you have. And in between yourself, after this, you should remind each other. You should discuss these matters which have been said. And don't actually be surprised if you have not actually remembered what I've said. I don't remember half of it as well. Whatever you have remembered, inshallah, do it. One person will remember one thing, the other will remember other thing. Muzakara, you have, it is actually good to do. And inshallah, then inshallah it will be beneficial knowledge. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa nastaghfiruka wa natubu alayk. And try to live. More important than the itikaf is actually that you don't harm anyone. You don't cause discomfort to the brother sitting next to you, or eating next to you, praying next to you. Try to, this is more important. Rasulullah said this is, harming a Muslim is worse than even destroying Kaaba. Imam of the Hadith. So the major, so itikaf is sunnah, for some it is nafal. But to harm and cause a Muslim is haram. Imagine then it was better that you had not set it off. So don't speak very loudly, don't shout at each other, don't become agitated. Try how you can serve your brother in a better way. This khidma has actually greater reward than itikaf even. Subhanallah, Razeem, bihamdihi, astaghfirullah, wa atubu alayhi.